Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is Matthew chapter 28 that I read to you just a moment ago. You may be seated.
And so what would you do if you were told all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to you? What would you do with it? All power, all authority, what would you do? I suppose that you would say that what you would do would depend a lot on what's really important to you. Some people see a big picture. They think on a grand scale. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. What's the first thing that you would do? Would you end the war in Iraq? Would you rid our country of crime and violence that seems to be on the rise? Or even more globally, would you try to solve world hunger? Would you fix our economy? Would you make gas prices go way down? Would you make all nuclear weapons vanish? Would you make it so that traditional enemies would just naturally always get along with each other? Think about it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. What would you do with it? What's the first thing that you would think of? For some of you, the problems that are actually weighing down on your own mind in your part of the world or your family or your life may not be such on a grand scale, but they're really problems in your mind. That's just the way we're made. When things are right in front of our face, especially when they're distressing, it causes us grief and all kinds of headaches. Now, there are some people that are so bugged by world hunger, they do almost anything to try to take care of it. Others see some of the pictures, whether it's flashes of TV commercials or things that are brought to our attention on the internet or something along those lines. But think about it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. What would you do? What would you do first? Would you fix your marriage so that you and your spouse never argue anymore? Would you help a family member that is in need, especially if that family member seemed to be always chronically in need and kind of being a drag on the rest of the system? What would you do if all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to you? Would you pay off all your bills? Give yourself a grand retirement? Make the weather always agreeable so that the crops would be plentiful each year and you wouldn't have to worry about things like too little rain, too much rain, depressed crop prices, high diesel prices. Or maybe you might heal some difficulty or malady that you or a friend or a relative have. What would you do if all authority in heaven and on earth were given to you? What would you do first? I think we can agree after this little part of the sermon that we would do probably what's important to us. And I think we can also agree that Jesus did what was important to him when all authority in heaven and on earth was given to him. That, of course, is what Jesus said as he was preparing to ascend into heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. That means he could do anything. It means he's in charge. He's in control. So what did he do with it? Let's look at first at what he didn't do with it. He didn't end war, or we wouldn't be in one right now. And other wars that are part of our memory or our history, like World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, etc., wouldn't be in our memory because they wouldn't have happened. He didn't solve world hunger. Oh, sure. He fed thousands of people a couple of different times, as the Bible tells us. But he only did that on two discrete occasions. One meal for those people. I don't know about you, but I eat more than one meal a day. Probably shouldn't, but I do. So he didn't exactly solve world hunger. When Jesus lived, we could say that the Israelis and the Palestinians were also already fighting then. Now, they weren't called that at that time, but basically it was the people that had descended into what we have today as those two groups. He didn't stop that. So what did he do? He didn't solve world hunger. He didn't solve poverty. He even said to his disciples at one point, "The poor you will always have with you." He didn't end war. He didn't end terrorism. He didn't end violence in one way or another. So what were his priorities? What did Jesus do? We know during his ministry, of course, that he healed people. He was known as quite a miracle worker, in fact. Gave sight to the blind, allowed the lame to walk, hearing to the deaf, cast out demons. But again, that didn't solve anything on a really long-term situation. Every single one of those people is dead and has been for a couple of millennia. So what did he do? So even though he used his authority to heal people, it didn't exactly stick in the long run. People still get sick. People still die. But Jesus says in this text, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So where is that authority of Jesus, wonders the woman, as she's just had the 10,000th fight with her husband and he's mad and she cries herself to sleep again. Where is that authority? What difference does it make to me, wonders the husband who stands at the hospital bed of his wife, and above her the monitor is slowly moving towards the time when the green lines on it are going to be straight. Where is that all authority, Jesus? What difference does it make to me, says the man, the businessman, at 11:45 at night because he can't sleep, because there's just not enough money anymore, and tomorrow he's going to have to lay off 10 people that he's worked with for a long time because he just can't afford to pay them. Where is Jesus for the mother who stops to cry as she walked past her daughter's empty bedroom because she's gone off to college and it's the first one to leave the nest? Where is Jesus in this all authority invested Jesus, wonders the father, who can't hold back the tears because instead of his son's name being written in the roll call or being recited in the roll call of his high school graduation, that name appears someplace else, out on a stone with two dates on it in a graveyard. So Jesus may have all authority, but I'm miserable. What's he doing with that authority to help me? What is he doing? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. What is he doing with it? Well, we've got to go on to see what he has to say after that, don't we? Where he basically says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you." Do you see? Do you see what Jesus is doing with all of this all-encompassing authority that he has been given? He's giving it to us. He's sharing it with us. And he is sending us out to share it with others. Early we agreed that people would do what was important to them if they were all of a sudden given all authority in heaven and on earth. So what then is important to Jesus? Our eternal welfare. Eternity in heaven with God. The eternal welfare of all people. And the way that And the way to ensure that eternal welfare is to baptize in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them what God has to say to them from the Bible. Yes, in baptism, the name of God the Father who created you was placed on you. In baptism, the name of God the Son, who became one of us and lived his life and died our death and rose again, was placed on you. In baptism, the name of God, the Holy Spirit, who continues to be your constant help and companion in this life, was placed on you. And that basically means that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, he's not going to let anything happen to us. He's going to take care of us. He even includes this promise, which in the older translations of the Bible reads, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." Now, there's a couple of ways you can look at that. The newer translations take the one way, to the end of the age, meaning until the world comes to an end. But another way, when you could actually think about it, is to the end of the world. He was actually preparing to send his disciples out to the ends of the world, basically indicating that he would be with them always, no matter where their ministry took them, no matter what part of life they were in. So basically what this promise is, that as long as we live, as long as the world exists, and to whatever extent we might travel, go to live in this world, Jesus is always there. So the most important thing to Jesus, and what he clearly chooses in this passage to do with all authority in heaven and on earth that had been given to him, is to share it with us and encourage us to share it with others, to make disciples. Does that mean that he doesn't care about world hunger or homelessness or poverty or terrorism or sickness or disease or death or any of the other ills of humanity? Of course he cares. Does that mean that he doesn't care about your sick kids, your strained relationships, your shaky job security, your questions about retirement? Of course he cares. But he cares first and foremost about having you as his disciple. Now it's true, disciples still get sick and they still have other problems in life. Disciples can and do have many of the problems that any person in this world has, but the disciple belongs to God. The disciple is protected by the name of God, the Holy Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, placed on them in baptism. You can think about it this way. This text is often called the Great Commission. And so how we're looking at this today is what motivated Christ, who had all authority in heaven and on earth given to him, what motivated him to use all of that for this great commission of going out and making disciples? Think of it this way. What he's doing here is he's linking the Great Commission with the greatest commandment. Now, in order to explain that, I need to take you to an upper room. It's Maundy Thursday evening, and Jesus is about to participate with his disciples in the most important meal of the Jewish year, the Passover, the very last Passover that he would participate in. And there he is, and one of the first features of the Passover meal was that somebody, usually the lowest, usually the servant, got to go around and wash everybody's feet. And of course, the disciples weren't volunteering. And so Jesus gets up, and in his first act of service, in what would be several acts of service all the way to his death on the cross the next day, he dresses up like a servant and washes his disciples' feet. And then when he finishes with that, he sits back down and he says, "Do you understand this?" They didn't understand it, but then he told them. He said, "The greatest commandment is love one another. I am your teacher and your Lord, and I have shown love to you, and I'm continuing to show love to you, and you also show love to each other." You love others. That's the great commandment. And the best way to show love is to tell others about this God that we worship. The Great Commission happens because of the Great Commandment. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment go hand in hand. It is exactly because Jesus cares for you that his number one ambition is making disciples. His almighty power, his all authority in heaven and on earth that had been given to him is shared with you in your baptism. And as you read his word, you continue to fill your mind with the power of God to be able to go out and make disciples, to live your life, no matter what kinds of passage through the dreariness and the darkness of this world you might face, no matter what pain might afflict you. Now, it won't get rid of your pain and it won't get rid of your misery at times, but what it will do it will assure you that God is always with you. Because by the power of God's name, which was placed on you in baptism, the power of His word in you, God keeps you close to Him until that time when He's going to take you to be with Him forever in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.